Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
Well, how are you, Mark?
I'm okay. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, it's been an interesting couple weeks, but it's been good. So
yeah, good. Good. Well, last week we talked about how freedom from followers is not the same thing as freedom in Christ.
Okay.
And I thought this week maybe we would talk about how leaving followers is not the same as leaving Christ either.
Oh, interesting. Sort of a corollary.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important because that is the way we would talk about it. I heard it my whole life. If someone left followers, we would say they left the faith. And it really was something that was looked at as one and the same. Believers go to Followers of Christ Church. If you leave here, you're not a believer.
Hmm, interesting. So, well, you know, and let me just say two things about that as somebody from the outside. Number one, as far as I'm concerned, when people leave the church, our church anyway, it hurts me, and I feel bummed out about it. And so that's the first thing, is it is a hurtful thing when people leave. And so in order to make sense of it, and I'm going to confess here, I make up stories myself about why they left.
Sure.
Because sometimes they have the decency to tell me.
Right.
Sometimes they just go and don't tell me, and then I'm left to make up my own story. And so I make up a story.
Yeah.
And so essentially what you're suggesting here is that the story that is at least most commonly told about people leaving is that they're leaving. Are they leaving because they're leaving the faith, or just the act of leaving means that they are leaving the faith? Probably that.
I think probably the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, that's a story that may or may not be true, you know, in the minds of the person who's leaving. And I guess that's what I wanted to acknowledge, is because I do that too, and I make up stories myself. So
I'm glad you asked that question, because it's probably important to say that I also did hear it's not as cut and dry as that. If you leave, you are not a believer, but they don't necessarily believe that everyone who goes to followers is a believer. So I did say that earlier, and I do want to clarify that, because
so there are people who go there who would not be considered believers.
Yeah, and that goes back to a statement that Walter made one time, that he kind of waved his hand across from the center aisle over and said, "If half the church makes it, it'll be a good margin." And so from that point on, people thought that going to followers gives you a 50-50 chance of getting to heaven. And so
from then on, that it was 50-50 odds?
Yeah, people moved from that side of the church to sit on the other side after that happened, when he made that physical gesture with his arm and said, if half the church makes it, it'll be a good margin. People relocated where they physically sat at church because of that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And so,
I mean, I always tell myself I need to be careful, but like, be careful what you say and like the way you move your hand and stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really something.
Yeah. That's how much some people put into that. Not everybody out there,
right,
of course, did that. But,
Everybody's a believer, but if you leave, you're definitely not a believer.
You're definitely not.
Okay.
And that, I think that's
what we're getting at
safe
today.
Safe to say. Yeah, exactly. And there were a few pieces of scripture that people would use to try and support this.
I'm sorry. That just reminds me of the Avengers. Right. Endgame with when Thanos is going to destroy.
He snaps his fingers.
Yeah, and
right?
half the people are going to yeah. be gone. It's like, wow, that's the same.
Yeah.
Essentially had the same force, really.
That kind of power. And I think that, yeah, yeah. I mean, this might be a different episode.
It's a different podcast. I'm yeah. sorry. It's not what we, yeah. at least not what we started to do. Maybe.
No.
Yeah, we'll stay on the one we planned.
Okay.
That?
We'll stick with this for now. But yeah, it definitely is believed that if you leave, you're not you've left the faith is okay. the story that they tell. And they would point to a few different scriptures for this. The first one is 1 Corinthians 7:15. It's talking about marriage, and it says, "But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases." If someone separates in their marriage, if one of them leaves the church, leaves followers, then they believe that that alone makes them an unbeliever and makes the remaining spouse free to remarry.
So, but initially, it's not really about marriage. In 1 Corinthians 7, it's about marriage. But
right.
you're saying that it isn't about marriage until one of them leaves and is then deemed an unbeliever.
Right.
And then it has impact on their
right.
Existing marriage or
yeah.
previous marriage or something.
Yeah.
But initially, it's about departing from followers is what the case right. Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But what's interesting to me in there is in that scripture, it says, if the unbelieving depart, they're already unbelieving. And then if they depart, you know, it's not the act of departing the marriage that makes them an unbeliever.
That's true. Yeah, and in 1 Corinthians, the person was never a believer in the first place.
Right.
And it was, it was complicated because probably neither were believers, and then one would have become a believer.
Right.
But even then, it's still about marriage. It's not about church.
Right.
But then you've got to decide what to do in that case, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that one is one that was used, and then probably more commonly is in Paul's letters to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared." And that's what they believe that I have done, that I have been deceived. I'm through false teachers. And
so you departed from the faith by leaving,
yeah.
and you wound up with deceitful spirits and teachings of demons.
Yeah.
And a seared conscience.
And a lot of them would say that it was devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings, that would have been when I started listening to sermons and stuff from teachers from outside of followers, that's what convinced me then to depart from followers, is what they would say.
And it was.
It was that.
That's the thing, it was. I mean,
it was listening to that, but they were not deceitful spirits.
I think that's the thing. And are they teachings of demons? And
right.
and if so, how are you going to determine that? And
right.
I would certainly, you know, if you're going to use the Bible as your
right.
sort of test about whether it's deceitful or whether it's demonic,
right?
That would be a good way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Anyway, interesting.
But you know, if you read on, it explains Paul's writing, you know, to Timothy here, and he's got some specific things in mind that he's saying that these false teachers forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods and things like that. Now, we just had different things. We didn't forbid marriage or require abstinence from food, but I mean, I was guilty of doing this, of being really one of these people that forbidding contact with family who left. I was.
So when you were there,
when I was there,
you were one of the people who made up these stories about other people. Is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I would be more like one of the people that Paul's warning Timothy against here than. But yeah, some of the examples, like I said, are forbidding contact with family who left, or you know, teaching my children that success and comfort and safety was found in followers of Christ Church is deceitful. I mean, it's wrong. I didn't mm-hmm. know it at the time, but I was still teaching the wrong thing. So
let me just say it this.
Yeah.
Let me just say it this way to mm-hmm. see if I. What you're saying is that you left the followers and were accused of devoting yourself to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons. And what you're suggesting is that what was deceitful was to say something that's not true.
Yeah.
That's the only harbor for salvation was
yeah.
found in the one right church.
Yeah.
Or that that it was, you know, in some respect, from, well, I don't know if you'd say demonic, but it certainly wasn't from Jesus, I guess, you know,
yeah.
in that respect. So
yeah.
that's what you're saying that the shoe was sort of on the other foot when you were there and you didn't even know it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a strange thing to find yourself in that spot where people are accusing you of doing this when I was feeling relief for the first time of now I'm not doing this. And yeah, it was interesting.
I think some of this is, and it goes back to what story are you telling yourself about
yeah.
what happened? You know, when you were there, what story were you telling yourself about people who left?
Yeah.
Then really when you left, you're telling yourself a different story than they're telling.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't know, only you know, because you're the one
right.
who's left. But nonetheless, I just think it's important that we realize that we all do this at some level,
yeah.
and what we've got to do is make sure that the story we tell ourselves lines up with what is actually true.
Yeah.
And so we're not doing what, again, Paul's warning about there, where you're being deceived and having false teaching. So that's really the thing, is
yeah.
how are you going to do that? And I think the only way to do that is to really get clear on what's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have some external standard. If two people are telling themselves different stories, and they can't both be true, and so how are you going to end up figuring it out? I think going to the Bible is going to be one way that you can do that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I will acknowledge that it is really hard. I'll say it a different way. It's really easy to think that the person saying the new story is the deceitful one, is the like we were told this same story for generations. We grew up hearing this story that we had to be there. Now I'm telling a story that's different than what I've said for the first 45 years of my life. I've raised mm-hmm. my kids with this other story, and now I'm changing it. So I get that this would be an easy thing to do, but it's just not the truth. Just because you've known one story your whole life doesn't make it a true story.
That's probably a good way to say it.
Yeah.
And it really does go back. I mean, we've said it over and over and over. You really do have to go back and figure out what actually the Bible is teaching and how you're going to understand the Bible, because that's going to be the referee, you might say, between these competing stories.
Yeah.
And if the Bible says something, it's worth changing the story to match the Bible.
Yeah.
That's the other side of it, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the other one that I heard a lot, this might be the most common one that I was accused of, but they, 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 3, we can read the first two if we think we need to, but starting in verse 3, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." And so I've been accused of all of those things. They think this is talking about me and others who have left followers, is that this is what we've done. We wouldn't endure sound teaching.
Some of the question, and we've talked about this a little bit before, I mean, what is the sound teaching?
Right.
I mean, you probably, did you ever hear teaching, let alone any teaching, let alone sound teaching?
Yeah.
From, you know, not from one-on-one, but from
right.
the church?
So the last elder died when I was 11 years old.
So before you were 11, you heard teaching.
I did. I heard him reading from the Bible and
okay,
teaching.
And when you're 11, I mean, it's hard to know how sound it is, I suppose.
Yeah, very little that I remember.
Yeah, but nonetheless, I mean, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Since you were 11, you hadn't heard any teaching, let alone sound teaching. So the accusation that you're departing sound teaching was, a little presumptive if there was no teaching at all.
Right, and the way they would apply this is that you wouldn't endure our traditions, that you were questioning, why do we do this? Why do we do that? That is the sign
traditions.
That you're not
the traditions were the sound teaching.
Yeah,
traditions themselves, not the actual proclamation or explanation. Okay.
Yeah, because we've talked we've talked about that on here a lot. When I tried to ask, why is this? Why do we do this like we do? It was just because this is the way our ministry set it up. So there really was no. There really was no teaching behind it. It was just, this is what we do. So, and then it was, I think this is driven by some fear for people, but it's, and it was for me, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. I think I was very afraid when I did decide to start listening to some sermons and things like that. I was very afraid of what I was going to hear. Am I going to be deceived? Am I going to be tricked? All those things were going through my mind. In fact, the first sermon I ever listened to was titled "Beware of False Prophets," and I very skeptically listened, thinking, "What does someone who I've been told was a false prophet my whole life say about warning you about false prophets?"
So you didn't go listening to it thinking that it would reinforce what you'd heard necessarily, or did you?
No, I knew, because like you said, I knew they weren't going to be talking about the traditions of the followers of Christ Church, so I knew it was going to be different.
Oh, okay.
That's the only teaching I had ever heard. So I knew it was going to be different, and I just, because of the story that I had told myself my whole life, I was very skeptical and pretty fearful listening to it the first time, but it was great. Then I couldn't stop listening to it. It didn't, for one thing, it didn't just suit my own passions. It was very convicting. Mm. It was shining a light into the darkness of my heart. It was not something that just made me feel really good all the time. You know, it was.
Well, imagine if it was suiting your passions. It would have reinforced what you, I mean, if you're going to go for something that was suiting your passions, you'd go for something that would make you more secure, make you feel more comfortable, make you, you know, so you were ended up anyway pursuing something that didn't, that worked against your passions, really.
Right.
Yikes.
Yeah, I would have looked for somebody that was just telling me to just, you know, have positive thoughts and you're doing great and try harder tomorrow and whatever. That's not what I heard, and it didn't suit my passions really. So that's and then it goes on to say, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Well, again, if the truth is our church, if that's the standard, if the followers are setting the standard for truth instead of the Bible setting the standard for truth, then I guess that's, I turned away from putting my trust in the traditions.
Yeah, you turned away from that.
I did, but I didn't wander off into myths. I feel like, honestly, I feel like more it was like I wandered away from these myths that I had believed before, this story that I had told myself that wasn't true, that I was secure because I was born in the right place, because I attended the right church. I did wander off from that. I didn't wander off into
that.
A myth. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's...
Well, again, I imagine people would tell themselves a different story about you or about what happened.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
But I guess the thing that we're trying to surface here is not like did Mark or didn't Mark. Nobody cares about that.
Right.
The question is really how do you view what's sound?
Mm-hmm.
How do you view what is really going to be demonstrably true?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Rather than... subjective or rather than parochial or proprietary information that only the church had, is there something that, there's some way you can know what's a myth, what's not a myth, what's suits your passions, what doesn't suit your passions? So.
Yeah. Yeah, I had some questions that I just wrote down at the end. How do you know if teaching is sound? How do you know if it's deceitful? How do you know if you've departed from the faith? If you're devoted to deceitful spirits or teachings of demons, if you will endure sound teaching or if you have itching ears, how do you know those things? If you'll listen to truth or myths, how do you know? And I just want to encourage people not to use their church tradition as the standard for truth. I think that's important. And then the other is I think the first question to answer, and you talked about it a little bit already, is how do you know if teaching is sound? I think that's the most important question to answer, probably.
And I think that you have to have have kind of a standard by which you measure it.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody's going to say the standard is the church traditions. Okay. That could be somebody's standard, but it's probably really important to admit I am trusting in my church traditions rather than I'm trusting in, what I understand God to be saying in the Bible.
Yeah.
So there is a difference, and I do think you've got to come to grips with it for sure. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think again, if you are thinking that your church traditions are the standard for truth, I think I would want people to be honest with themselves about that and look at those traditions and how much they've changed over the years and how that just can't be the standard for truth because they've changed too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, we've really gotten to that point just before I left where the only thing left that that people all really agree on as truth at Followers is that it's the one right church and you have to stay there. Within the church, there's all kinds of differences, all kinds of teachings,
variety,
all kinds
right.
of, yeah. And so, yeah. And like you said, there is no sound teaching. There is no teaching at all from the Bible.
Well, I think that's probably how do I say that? Be the easiest bar to clear.
Yeah.
Is there any?
Yeah.
And if there is any, is it sound? But if there isn't any, that's, then you don't have a bar to,
right.
to clear. So, yeah.
Right. So it's, I just really got to the point where I had to figure this out. I was learning a different story than the story that I had told myself my whole life. And it really came down to Jesus. Jesus was not part of the story that I told myself my whole life or that I heard my whole life. He just wasn't in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got to the point where I had to figure out what – I heard somebody ask that, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do about this? You've heard about him now. What are you going to do? And I've heard it said, you're not allowed to remain neutral on Jesus. You've got to decide, are you going to put your trust in him or are you going to discount him mm-hmm. and tell yourself a different story, find something else to put your trust in? And that is really what it came down to for us, is that when we decided to put our trust in Jesus instead of what we had put our trust in for all those years, that's when we were accused of seeking these myths that would, however it said it, satisfy your...
I'm glad you brought it back to Jesus. That's even more, I mean, that's really more clear and more central.
Yeah.
Even than for me saying, that you need to get it square with the Bible.
Right.
The Bible does proclaim Jesus died on a cross, rose again, and your faith in him means that your allegiance is now with him completely and not with your church, not with your friends or family or anybody else. It's with Jesus, and that's a different story. And that'd be a hard switch, Mark. Just even hearing you tell it right now, I'm thinking, that had to be rough.
Yeah, and I put in my notes here that there's no way that my ears itched enough to convince me to do something that might cost me so much. I mean, separation from family and friends and all of that, just to be accused of doing something that suits your passions or, that, how could that be that it would suit my passions to lose family and friends? That just isn't. And that was the result of this, but it's...
But you knew it'd be the result too, so you were pretty clear-eyed when you made your choice.
And yeah.
Because you found Jesus compelling.
Yeah, yeah, had to... I couldn't look the other way, and I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful for that, because I know people do, and I want to have them take another look, I guess.
Yeah, that's really good.
Look again. Yeah. I don't know if there's more to say on that. I want to tell people, if they are looking for sound teaching, we are going to actually have an interview coming up in a couple of weeks with the very first person that I ever heard preach a sermon, and it was recorded back in 2004 or something, and I found it on Sermon Audio. Mm-hmm. If listeners want to look it up, his name is William Hughes, and he's on Sermon Audio. He has 600 and some sermons on there. But it'll be fun to interview him in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, so. he's got a cool accent as well.
He does.
People are going to enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a sweet, sweet man. I mean, he's just really looking forward to talking with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He really is. Well, we would sing a song, and so many times I feel like it's ironic that we would sing, but we would believe we were the only right church, and then we would sing the song Anywhere with Jesus. And
so you had to be there, but it
you
could
had
be
to be
anywhere.
There. And so I just think this is such a great song. It says, anywhere with Jesus I can safely go, anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over dreary ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere with Jesus, over land and sea, telling souls in darkness of salvation free. Ready as he summons me to go or stay, anywhere with Jesus when he points the way. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep, When the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall waken nevermore to roam, anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. I can barely get through that, but I would love it if people would not draw their line at the door of the church and that they would mm-hmm. trust that anywhere with Jesus, you can safely go.
And really, that's been the message of this conversation, is that Jesus is the question that you've got to answer. And so if you can go anywhere with Jesus, we would encourage you to do that.
Yeah, push through that mm-hmm. fear. I get it. Push through the fear. Push through the doubt. Trust Jesus and learn about him, read about him, listen to sermons about him. But yeah, you're safe with Jesus.
Good.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.